It's a privilege and honor to be with you tonight, and those parents who just had children leave want me to preach an hour. Amen. This will be the most peaceful hour of your life, but it's good to be here tonight. I won't say much about our ministry because tomorrow we'll be doing that, be showing our video, talking about our ministry, what's going on there in Peru, but just let me say this. Thank you from the bottom of our heart for your faithful support of our ministry there over our first term, and we want to thank you for that. As you're doing your part here, God allows us to do our part there, and Brother Brower said, it's a team effort working together. You're doing your part, we're doing our part, and then God does His part. And we're thankful for what God's doing there and excited to share that with you tomorrow. Our children will be singing tomorrow, and I'll just tell you a little bit more about that tomorrow night. But we just want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for your faithful support, your hospitality already today, and look forward to the meeting today and tomorrow and being with you and sharing a little bit about what God's doing in Peru, South America. But tonight we want to take this time and look at the book of Romans, if we could. Romans chapter number 10, and take this time that we have together and focus on God's Word and think about what God has for us tonight from His Word. And as we come to the book of Romans, you know, when you look at the Bible and you think about missions, obviously the greatest example that we have is Jesus Christ Himself. As you come to the Bible and think about the greatest missionary to ever live, as He left His heavenly home and came to an earthly home and died for us on a cross, paid the penalty for our sins. That's the greatest example of missions that could ever be given. He left His home to ours to share the truth of the gospel, the truth of His death, burial, and resurrection with you and I. But when you look at the Bible, when you think about missions and you hear the term missionary, immediately for most people, the Apostle Paul comes to mind. And when we think about Paul and we think about his missionary success over those three missionary journeys and a journey to Rome, and we see churches that were planted and thousands of converts that were saved, and we think about what God did through this man Paul, it ought to make us stop to think, what was it that caused all that to happen? What was it that moved in Paul, and what was it that God did in the heart and the life of this man Paul that allowed us to see so many things happen through his life, see so many people come to know the Lord, see churches planted, see the gospel spread throughout the known world at that time? As we come to Romans chapter number 10, I believe we can see the true heart of this man Paul. I believe as we look at that, we ought to look at our own heart and say, God, allow me to have the heart of Paul as he had your heart for souls that were lost and dying, and allow me to see what it was he was doing in order that I can do more of the same. As we come to Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1, we can see here in the Bible that the Bible says this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." We want to take that thought tonight that the verse ends there with, that they might be saved. And I want to think about that thought and preach on that thought for the time that God has us together in His Word tonight. Let's pray and ask God to bless our time. Lord, we thank You tonight for the opportunity to be in this church. I thank You for their heart, for missions, and as they've come together this week and set a goal to grow in their faith in reaching the world for Christ, I just pray that You just allow all that's said and all that's done this week to point toward that direction, that we have a lost and dying world and a great need to hear the truth of the gospel. And Lord, we need to send it throughout the world through missions. We need to be busy about that here in our own community. And God, I just pray that all that's said and done this week would allow us to get a greater burden for that truth. God, I pray tonight that You'd use me. And Lord, I just pray that You'd allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me to those that are here tonight. And as those that are sitting here listening tonight, I pray that not only would they open their hearts and receive and hear the Word, but as they leave, they would also be doers of the Word, and they would be changed forever for what You've done in their hearts and their lives tonight through Your precious Word that we have before us. God, use us tonight for Your glory and Your honor, for it's in Your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. When you come to this chapter of the Bible, the first thing I want you to see is this. As I prepared this message and thought about this message, I wrote down this as point number one. I put the desire of the missionary. But the first thing I did was put a line through the word missionary, because I got to thinking. I thought, you know what? This isn't the desire of the missionary. It should be the desire of the saved. It should be the desire of every born-again believer tonight. The same desire that we see here in the life of Paul. He said this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Tonight, it ought to be every born-again believer's desire to see other people come to know Christ. I tell you, the video we just watched is exciting. As you see a believer hear for the very first time the truth of the gospel, accept that, and then immediately, what was their desire? To go home and tell someone else. To go to another community and tell someone else. I tell you, in the time and day and age that we live, we've lost that desire. We sit and we think, oh man, we live in a community and we see so many churches in our area. People know the truth of the gospel. But I'll tell you tonight, there's people on your street. There's people on my street. There's people here. There's people in Peru. There's people in Africa, all around the world, that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight, we need that desire. Notice what Paul says here. He says, brethren, my heart's desire. What is your heart's desire tonight? All through my life, I've had all kinds of different desires. You know, when you think about preachers and missionaries, you think, oh, well, their desires every morning, they wake up and get out of bed and say, whew, my desire is to go out and preach and live for God. But that's not true. We're no different than anybody else. We have to get up every morning and ask God to help us and prepare our hearts and give us the right desires. But all throughout my life, my desires always haven't been exactly where God wants them to be. Sometimes my desires got off track. As a young man, I had a desire to start for the varsity basketball team on my high school. That desire drove me to do things that were abnormal for a human being. I would go to ball practice and I would run and run and run and run and run. And the coach would do crazy things and put us on a wall and have to sit on the wall until we hurt so bad we could hardly stand up. And we would run and we would shoot free throws. Yes, we'd run again, and often until we even threw up in trash cans. That's abnormal. That's crazy. Why would any human being want to do something like that? You know what it was? It was a desire. A desire to play on a sports team. We all have desires. Some of us desire to kill Bambi. I don't have that desire, and I don't quite understand it, but you know what that desire will do? It'll drive a man to get up while it's still dark. It'll desire him to scale up the side of a tree and sit there silently by himself for hours until that moment comes and victory is his. Ladies are laughing, but Thanksgiving's coming. And the day after Thanksgiving, a desire will drag many women out of bed at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, to stand in an hour and a half line to save $10 on an item you could buy the very next day. Is it worth the $10? No, it's worth the desire to save the $10. Let me ask you tonight, what's your desire? Our desires will lead us to work extra hours in order to gain more for our family or for our vacations or for whatever it is we want. Our desires will drive us to drive for miles to have a vacation or to have a time alone. But here's the thing. Paul said, my heart's desire, the passion of my life is to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My desire is that others might come to know Christ as their Savior. When you have a desire in your heart, it leads you to do things that make you a little bit uncomfortable. What kind of things have made you uncomfortable about winning souls this last 12 months? As you went from the last missions conference to this missions conference, what kind of desires have we had that have led us to stay up later at night praying, get up earlier in the morning and seek God, to go out more often and tell people about the Lord, to go to our office instead of thinking about, oh no, I got to face this day again. I got to look my boss in the face again. I got to make it through this day again. That we got up and said, God, you're sending me there for a reason, and I have a desire that those around me in my office, those around me in my community, those around me in wherever I go today want to know and need to know the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, my heart's desire in prayer. Not only was his heart's desire, but it was his prayer. He made it a matter of prayer to say, God, lead me. God, guide me. God, help me. God, open hearts. God, guide lives that others might know Jesus Christ as their Savior. About 2 months ago, we got a call from my mother-in-law. And she began to account to us that my brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband, had received Christ that morning at church. He was the last family member that we had that had not received Christ as a Savior, our last immediate family member. As we accounted that to our children, my daughter Lauren looked at us and she said, Dad, I have prayed for him every single day. Let me ask you, who is it that's on your heart? Who is it you're praying for? Who is it that you're burdened for? Who is it that you have a desire for, that they might be saved? Paul said, that's my desire and that's my prayer, is that others might be saved. It's got to be our desire tonight, whether it be right here in our own community or around the world. But then notice why he had that desire. Because the second thing we see in this chapter is the delusion of the lost. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. He said, here's the delusion of the lost. They think they're saved. They think they're on the way to heaven. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They have a righteousness, but it's not God's righteousness. Listen, when we arrived in Peru, here's what we found out. People were open to the gospel. People wanted to hear the gospel. You could get together in a crowd this large and preach the gospel and give an invitation. You know what everybody would do? I want to receive Christ. I want to go to heaven. But here's what we found out quickly. That desire went along with their desire the week before as the Mormons preached and told them how to go to heaven. Yeah, I don't want to go there. I want to do that. The week before, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the same thing. And the Catholics for year after year after year, as the priests would tell them to go to, and say their Hail Marys and Our Fathers. And as they went to the saints and they prayed to the statues. Listen, he said, hey, that's all. I'll accept that. I want that. They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Sadly enough, their zeal for God often was greater than our own. As we watched them there during celebrations of saints crawl through the streets, carry grand statues of saints through the streets, and have grand festivals and spend the whole day around that, worshiping that saint, that idol, eating and drinking and spending and giving, praying in their sanctuaries to large statues over and over for hours upon end. Listen, they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. Tonight, that's no different than our neighbors who think because they've treated their wife well, they've worked hard, and they've been a good person all of their life that they're going to go to heaven. When's the last time that you went to a funeral and someone stood beside a casket and said, man, this was such a wicked woman? No, we're all from the same area. I'm just 45 minutes down the road, and you know what? I hear the same thing you hear. Man, he was a good old boy. Man, I've even heard people say, if anyone's going to go to heaven, surely he's going to go to heaven. But listen, all of our righteousness, notice what it says here. He says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Listen, our righteousness, the Bible says, is a filthy rag. Why is that? Because he sent his son to die for our sins. There's nothing we can do to merit what Christ has already done. And listen, there's a delusion among us that people believe, hey, I have a zeal of God. I have a love for God. I go to church. I attend faithfully. No different than the people we're dealing with in Peru that say, hey, I want to know God. I want to know God. I want to do these things. I'll pray to a saint. I'll pray to a statue. But the truth is, they need to know it according to the Word of God. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They need the knowledge that is the truth of the Word of God. It's the same truth they need in Peru. It's the same truth that they need in Mexico. It's the same truth that they need right here in your own community of Great Tennessee. There's a delusion of the lost. But notice what he does now. He gives a description of salvation. He makes it very plain and very simple. He goes on, and we know these verses so well. We use them so often. It says in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I love the fact that over and over, even in verse 13, it's used again. The Bible uses the word whosoever. It doesn't matter the color of your skin or the language you speak. It doesn't matter the place that you live or who you are or where you've been. You're a whosoever. There's whosoevers in Peru. There's whosoevers in Great Tennessee. It doesn't matter where you go or where or what you're doing. You're surrounded by whosoever's, people who need the truth of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So many people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. They have all this information in their head, but they never by faith received Jesus Christ in their heart. Listen, we face the same problem. It's the delusion of the lost. But the description of salvation is so simple. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's simple tonight. If it's so simple, why are we having such a difficult time? And that's what I want to get to tonight and end with. It's the dilemma of the church that we see here in the end. You notice here it says that his desire was that people might be saved. The delusion was that they thought that they were saved. The description of salvation was very simple. But then he comes down to the dilemma, and here's where we're at tonight. If we're not seeing people saved, why is it? If we're not seeing more souls come to Christ, why is it? It's because often our desire doesn't lead us to what we see in verse 13, 14, and 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Very simple. Someone once said this, God answers 100% of the calls of salvation. It's simple tonight. But then he says four times this word, how? The first question he asks is this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Listen, it's impossible to put your faith in someone that you don't believe or know. We would like to think, as I said earlier, that everyone around us knows Christ as their Savior. But I'll tell you, I just heard this stat recently. I don't know how accurate it is. You see stats in books all the time. But I heard someone quote this stat just recently. And here's what they said. If you were talking of my generation, 65% of my parents and grandparents attend church faithfully. 65%. My generation, 45% attend church regularly. If you believe this stat, I find it almost impossible to believe. But the stat said, my children's generation, only 4% are attending church regularly. Somewhere we've dropped the ball. And I tell you, we've dropped the ball often because our desire isn't that others will know Christ as their Savior. Our desire hasn't taken us, and we're not going out and doing the responsibility God's given us to do. And our desire hasn't kept us up praying and hasn't got us up early in the morning. And often our desires don't lead us to do the things that we see Paul doing often. We often say, well, wait a minute, you don't understand the society we live in today. It's difficult. People really don't want to hear it. They're looking for change and they're looking for new, and they really don't want to hear the gospel. You're talking about a man writing the scripture when they were stoning people for preaching the gospel. You're talking about a man, they were boiling people in oil for preaching the gospel. Listen, we have a road paved with gold. We have freedom of religion, freedom of speech. We can preach what we want, go where we want, give tracts where we want. And I don't think I've ever been beaten, stoned, or put in any hot oil. We have an open door before us. He says, How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? If they don't believe, why is it? It's because they haven't heard. It's because someone's not telling them. They need to hear. We live in a nation of people who are getting darker. I tell you, even in the 3 years we've been gone, it's amazing to come back and see the change of society that we've already faced in 3 short years. How people have turned away more and more, and how people are more ignorant of the gospel than they've ever been before. And then he says this, and how shall they hear without a preacher? When we hear that, we say, well, praise the Lord, we have Brother Jody here. He can go out and he can preach. We have a preacher. But a preacher is anyone proclaiming the truth of the God's word. When you go about your way, you're a preacher. When you leave here, you're a preacher. You can proclaim the truth of God's word no matter where you go, no matter what you do tomorrow. God's put you in a place for a reason. God called my family to Peru. One preacher put it this way. He said to his congregation after we shared our ministry, he said, listen, the only difference between the Harolds and every member of this church is geography. God has you where He has you for a reason. God has them where He has them for a reason. Here's the thing. You'll meet people tomorrow. You'll talk to people tomorrow at your workplace, in your neighborhood that I'll never see in my life. And God's given you that responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the truth of Jesus Christ. And then He says this, and how shall they preach? I like this. Except they be sent. As we think about the gospel, often here's what we think. Well, our church has been here for years. I'm from Chilhowee Baptist Church down the road. They've been there over 100 years. Pray, I don't know how old Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is, but he said, well, the doors are open, the lights are on, the invitations are out, we pass out tracts and invite people to come, and the doors are open, they can come and hear the gospel. But yet, if you study the Word of God, you don't see that as the method. Open the doors and hope they come. You know what you see? People always being sent. You know what that means? As you leave the doors, you're being sent. As you go out the doors, you're being sent. As we go across the world, the missionaries that are here, maybe even you tonight, maybe God would call you to the mission field. He's sending you. Why? To preach the gospel of good news, the gospel of salvation, to tell them that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's the message that He's given us. And here's the thing. He even ends this passage by saying this. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I've been up here for 20 minutes, but my foot hasn't said a word. Preach the gospel. No. Why did He say this? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. You know why He says that? Because it's your feet that carry you as you're being sent forth. We can sit in here and it's easy to preach inside the four walls of a church. It's easy to preach in a Sunday school class, and it's easy to preach when we're here together and in the comfort of church. But the truth of the matter is this, it's our responsibility as born-again believers to say my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Great Tennessee is that they might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Peru, South America, is that they might be saved. My heart's desire, you can put whatever place you want in there, but the thing about it is, as we say that, and as we pray to God for that desire, as we ask God to burden our heart greater this year than He's ever burdened us before, to do more for missions than we've ever done before, if that's truly our desire, we would all say tonight, man, it's my desire to see other people come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The question is this, what is that desire pushing you to do this year greater than you've ever done before? My desire to be on that basketball team would lead me to cut the fingers out of gloves and play basketball in the snow. But you know what? Often our desire to see other people saved is no greater that we won't even share with our waitress or share with our neighbor or even share with our own family members the truth of the gospel. A great desire that others might be saved will lead us to give more this year than we've ever given before. It'll lead us to pray more than we've ever prayed before. It'll lead us to go more than we've ever gone before. It'll lead us to have a greater desire than we've ever had before, that they might be saved. In verse number 17, the passage says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, we have the most precious treasure that any man could ever hold in their hands. The truth that brings eternal life to a lost and dying world. We have it. We know it. Someone was burdened enough to bring that truth to us. Would to God that we get a greater desire, a greater burden, a greater prayer this year that they might be saved. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your word. And we thank You that it's clear to us that we have a great responsibility. Lord, if it wasn't for this truth, when we got saved, You would have simply took us on to heaven. We could have been spared much trial and tribulations and troubles. But instead, You've left us here for a reason. And that's to take this truth that's been given to us and to share it with others. God, I just pray that you'd give us a greater burden this year, a greater desire to do more than we've ever done for the cause of the gospel. God, help us to love you more, to pray more, and to do more this year to see others come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Burden us, guide us, and direct us through your love and through all that you've done for us. Help us to show our love back to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're going to begin to play through softly. I wonder tonight, how's God using this message in your life? The one thing that keeps coming and ringing clear in my ears is, what is my desire? What desire do I really have? Somebody say, Jody, how do I know what desire I have? What do you spend your time doing? What do you make sacrifices to be able to do? My friends, there's a lost and dying world in their area here. We knock on doors all over this area. And it's amazing how many times you ask people, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And many of them say, I hope so. And even those who say, I hope so, or yes, you can ask them, what are you trusting in? And many times it's something like this, well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, the best we can is not good enough. Jesus Christ and His righteousness is the only way to heaven. Is God speaking to you? Is the Lord challenging your heart? I'm asking Brother Gary to sing just one verse. If God is using this message in your heart, I realize you don't have to come forward. You can pray there at your seat, but I do encourage you to come forward if the Lord's in it. As He sings, if God's speaking to you, would you get out of your place? Would you come to this altar? Would you pray to the Lord? At least be praying there at your seat, and those that feel led, you come to the altar now. As He sings, come now. Would you do that? Have my own way. Thou art the Father. I am the way. Hold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting. You blessed. Let's sing another since somebody's responded. Have Thy own way. Still time for you. Keep singing. Have my own way, Lord. Have my own way. Lord, Lord the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting. Softly, you can look this way. Let me give you some instructions. We're getting ready to dismiss. Appreciate the message, brother. God bless you. It's gun barrel straight. By the way, what he's preaching, reach your co-workers, reach your family members, reach your neighbors. Sound familiar, friends? It's amazing how God brings together like-minded people, and exactly what they're trying to do in Tanzania, in Peru, Mexico, in Jamaica, Papua, Indonesia. It's the same thing we have to do here. And we have an exalted privilege to partner up with people like this, get the gospel around the world. I cannot encourage you enough to be back tomorrow night. Do the right thing. Now, God knows if you cannot be here. We understand that. If you just cannot come, you're working, you're sick, you're dead, something like that. We understand. Please don't disobey the Lord and stay home when you know that you could be here. Now, God's not in that, friends. He's not in it. If you want to test Him, ask Him tonight. Okay? He'll tell you. You be here if you can. May the Lord Lord help you. Brother Bob wants me to announce some things here for you. One of them has to do with a garage sale that he's having for the teens to try to help them go to England. If you have items for that, he wants you to see him. He'll be in the gym after the service. That reminds you, if you have children here, everybody's invited to stay with us each night, tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night. We're going to have just a small food item from a different part of the world here. It's probably found at Walmart, but a different part of the world, you understand. We want you to fellowship with us. This is your time after the service to mingle around, get to know some of these missionaries. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the missionaries that are here with us. If you'll go ahead and make your way to the gymnasium. And let's see here. I'm going to ask Brother David Pruitt, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lead them over to the gymnasium, that would be good. They're going to be at their displays. I want all of them to go over there. Please stay with us. You don't have to stay long, but at least go over there, grab you a little bite to eat, mingle a little bit, say hello to the missionaries, and be on your way. If your children are out of the service, I'm going to dismiss you first in just a moment. The children, the first through sixth graders, are in the gymnasium. The 3, 4, and 5-year-olds are either in the gymnasium or in the chapel, one of the two. So if you go to one, they're not there. Don't panic. They're in the other one, okay? A couple of things that the children are going to be able to receive tonight. One of them is this poster. Now, it does not have the frame with it. They're just rolled up. And they're also going to be receiving a passport. Passport looks like this. Both of these are available at the middle table over in the gym where the Bob man should be there stationed with it. He said for the children to get their passport, their parent must be with them. Okay? So the parent, please go get your children in just a moment. Take them to the passport table. And tonight our children are traveling to Peru. And then they're going to travel to France all in one night. And what they're going to do is take their passport. Brother Matt Harrell, who just preached, he has a stamp for Peru. Your children are going to go to him and ask him to stamp their passport. He's going to find Peru in here and stamp it for them. And they're going to go to France. That's Brother Butch Abbott. He's a member of our church. He has the stamp for France. So they're going to go to him, ask him to stamp their passport. He's going to find France. Right there it is. He's going to stamp it. And they're going to be doing this each night. Okay? Everybody make sense what I just said to you? So what I want to do, I want to dismiss all those who have children first. If you have children over in the gymnasium or in the chapel, you are dismissed right now. Please go get your children. Please take them by the passport table to get their passport and their poster. Stay with us. Let them get their passports stamped. Again, that's Peru, Matt Harrell, Butch Abbott with France tonight. And you stay with us and eat with us. Let's pray. We'll bless the food. The rest of us, please stay with us. At least show your face over there. Even if you're not going to eat a bite, just go by and shake the missionary's hands. Thank him for being here. God bless him for coming. God, we love you. Thank you for this service. Bless now, I pray, in the fellowship. Bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same place, same time. Please be here. Please stay with us. Go over to the gymnasium, please. All the displays are over there as well.